What we do, we sell the tickets to people. And if suddenly 500 tickets every day gets on a secondary site like StubHub, we sell the tickets to people. And if suddenly 500 tickets every day come on a promoter, I've got to look and see. I looked at the credit card. Who bought the tickets? Who got that block of tickets that's on there? How comes they're suddenly being sold at 4 times the price? What am I going to do about it? Well, they've done nothing about it.
The fuck's going on here?
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand. For something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Call me Mr. Chimney. I want smoke.
Motherfuckers better come correct. It's Friday, bitches. We are back. Thank God for another day. I know that sounds a little bit ironic, right? You come in here cursing, acting tough, then you say thank God. But hey, whatever. Thank you, Al Heyman. Thank you, Michael Gross. Thank you, Robert in the UK. Thank you to our guest today, hailing from Las Vegas. His name is, it escapes me right now. It is Jim, right? It's Jim, Mike?
Jim? Should I know we had a guest?
Oh, man. Drop
new to me.
It was a special treat. Jim is an expert in ticket selling, right? He's selling tickets since 1999, for promoters and venues. He's actually the one that released this information on the ticket sales. His name is Jim Boone. We'll get proper pronunciations and stuff like that once he comes on. Should be around the 12:45 mark. So we got about another 12 minutes to kick back and talk with each other until he comes on. And he can give us the breakdown of what exactly this means. And what I mean by this, for those just tuning in or, you know, the fact that it's a podcast, we're here to discuss Deontay Wilder's ticket sales versus Tyson Fury and the fact that amongst the internet or the boxing world, it is perceived that this fight is doing horribly. The tickets are overpriced and that the tickets are not moving. So we wanted to get an expert on and let us know how exactly to receive and interpret this information and obviously to give us his definition, because from his quote, he says, "Massive price flexing continues for Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. And riser 115, for example, started at 210, flexed to 1,035, now back down to 310 and 517. So, I mean, the way I'm interpreting that is that, you know, tickets started low, then they went high, then they're back low and mid-range. But we're here to talk just how well these ticket sales are doing. Are you going? Are you buying? The number to call in, 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time to voice your opinion right here on the Voice of the People hotline. And don't forget, you can add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. So why type when you can Skype and give us your opinion? But let me go out to my main man, Mike.
I speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. I can't say it enough. I speak it, believe it.
Two attempts, handed bands over. Sicko hit, shot and missed. Two to stand over.
Turn up.
Breadwinner, huh? Look who in the building. Let me check my Instagram. I might be at a million.
And I'm in.
BoxingWizards.com.
Yo, man. Shout out to that throwback intro real quick, man. But, Wilder ticket sales. This is the problem with the secondary ticket market. They buy a whole lot of tickets, then they try to resell them to the public. I don't like that. It's like, how can you buy a ticket for $200 and then put it on the site for $1,000? That makes no sense at all. And if you want people to come to the fight, well, I can't say that because StubHub does sell a lot of tickets. Most people go there for their tickets now. So, I mean, I don't know, man. The whole Upper Bowl and the Staples Arena is not it's not open yet. But I'm thinking Wilder did 12 or 13,000 his last fight. So, and the Staples Center is a whole like almost 20,000. So maybe that section won't be open, but maybe it will. Who knows? I mean, we all know that we live in America, the home of the last minute. So a lot of Americans do shit at the last minute.
A lot of babies coming from Optimistic Mike over there. I don't know. Is Mike somehow, you know, trying to remain optimistic for his favorite fighter, Deontay Wilder?
Got to, man. Got to. Like people say, I mean, if you really want to support your fighter, put your money where your mouth is. All these people calling in, hollering about Bomb Squad or Fury or that. I mean, if you guys really want to support, either go to a fight or buy the show. I bet more than anything, they prefer you to buy the show.
Really quick from the super chat, Larry Merchant in the chat says Wilder overvaluing himself again. I highly doubt it's Wilder that puts the price on ticket sales, but let's go to Eddie Hearn.
I mean, I'm looking at that seat map. They haven't even opened the top tier of that arena. Every seat price is still available. So if they've done 7,000 tickets, I'll be astonished.
7,000, meaning one more thousand than Danny Jacobs and all the New York and Chicago shows that Eddie's done. But hey, Robbie has a point. Mike, I mean, none of his shows have a headliner by the name of Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, so they should be, you know, selling more than the 6,000 to 7,000 that Eddie's selling with Chicago and New York City tickets and, you know, venues.
I mean, it's still time. I mean, we're still a month away. People got to get their finances in order. And also, I said this before.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, Thanksgiving. All the holidays. Exactly.
That's what I said.
I'm hearing the Dallas Mavericks are coming into town on Friday, November 31st, bro.
They got a game the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I hope the site fee was big enough.
You got to understand, man. With LeBron going to the Lakers, that opens the door for, I mean, it opens the door for the
league. I think that's what they're banking on, Mike, right? They're looking at it like, oh, LeBron got the game Friday. Maybe some people stay around and watch the fight Saturday.
Is that, and if you can get, and hopefully that the Lakers will be off the following day, you can get that big influx of those stars.
Celebrities. I think that's what they were banking on. LeBron bringing in some big-time celebrities.
Exactly.
That's why the tickets were priced high. That didn't work out. And now they're dropping the tickets is what I'm assuming. But it looks like we got our guest, Jim Boone, on the line. Jim, make sure I'm pronouncing that last name right. And just let everyone know, you know, your background and why they should be believing and taking your word.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you having me on. And yeah, you are pronouncing the name correct. It is Jim Boone. So I've been selling boxing tickets. I started in 1999. The Lewis Holyfield rematch in Las Vegas was the first fight I've worked. And I had a good time, made some money. And I've been doing it ever since. So
what exactly?
Almost 20 years.
What exactly does selling boxing tickets mean? I mean, for a casual fan, I think, all right, I need tickets. I go to StubHub. I go to Ticketmaster. Why would I be going to Jim Boone, and how do I find a Jim Boone?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of different deals. I mean, depending on where the fights are at, my office is in Vegas, so I do a lot of stuff as far as with the casinos. I get a lot of the tickets that aren't necessarily available to the public through my corporate accounts and my relationships. You know, I got
this. Whoa, Jim, real quick. So there are tickets that are not available to the public?
Well, there's certain of the premium seats the casino is going to hold for their very best players, and the promoters are going to hold those for their, you know, friends and family, the fighters and the teams and everything else. So when it comes to the good ringside seats, you know, some go on sale certainly to the public, but to get the, you know, the cherry pick of the very, very good seats, that's stuff I typically focus on and try to get access to. The stuff is not readily available.
So
now,
Jim,
in the case of the fight in, go ahead.
I was just going to ask. So do you resell? If that's, I guess.
Yeah, I resell. Okay. It depends.
Okay, yeah, I got a couple of questions. So since you're a reseller, obviously you, I'm assuming, bought some of these tickets in hopes to make a little bit of profit. How are things going for you?
The fight is selling good. I mean, I know people are saying listen, they had a ton of action early on the fight, and the promoter or the building or both, whoever's decision it was, they decided to flex the prices up right when the market was extremely hot, and they kind of shot themselves in the foot by doing that. You know, they priced it. I thought they did a good job pricing it, and it was definitely a lot of action early. I got calls from England. I got calls from all over the place. And then within that first 36 hours, they decided to jack the prices up, which I understand. I just think they went way too high. Going from 200 up to 1,000 is a little ridiculous, to be honest with you. You know, maybe settling in at 300 to 500 made more sense. But the way I look at it, they needed to sell a lot more tickets before they started aggressively raising prices.
Now, Jim, comparing this,
they've kind of gotten a situation where.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, comparing this to a star like Canelo, how were these tickets priced?
Well, they were priced more reasonable than the Canelo fight. I think the biggest issue with the fight is they didn't put it in Las Vegas. As far as the, you know, the fans, if you're a Deontay Wilder fan from Alabama, getting to Vegas is super easy. You know, I go to Alabama every year for the Senior Bowl, so I'm very familiar with it. It's an easy flight over from Birmingham, or you can go to New Orleans. You can fly direct. Getting to Los Angeles, I mean, just simply getting to the Staples Center from LAX, you're talking, you know, up to an hour in a cab just with traffic. Vegas just makes it so easy, and certainly for the English fans, coming to Vegas is a natural. They're so used to doing it.
So what do you think?
I think as far as putting the fight in that way.
What do you think happened? I mean, I know that Los Angeles won the site fee, but I mean, how big was their offer? Because we had New York with the Barclays Center, who has exclusive rights to PBC fighters. Obviously, their offer wasn't big enough. And then, like you said, Vegas, where everyone thought it was a natural fit, and they couldn't solidify it. So have you heard anything?
You know what? I haven't. I know they must have got a pretty penny for it. They obviously did real good with the site fee because, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, Brooklyn makes perfect sense also. Obviously, Deontay's selling a hell of a lot of tickets there. That Ortiz fight did extremely well. So he's built a fan base there with his consistency of fighting in New York. And then for the Brits, it's an easy flight. It's, you know, 5 hours across the pond. So it just seems Los Angeles has hurt the market a little bit just because it is so far to get to. But, you know, that being said, we are a month out, and they have readjusted the prices to a much more realistic level. And the fact of the matter is, you know, in Los Angeles specifically, I mean, people buy late. So I think the fight's going to perform very well when it gets, you know, by the time this thing is said and done, you get there Saturday night, it's going to be a packed house, I believe.
How many ticket sales is a packed house, Jim, for Staples Center?
Well, I mean, listen, the problem with ticket sales is they always exaggerate what the real number is. I think for this fight, they're going to do well over 10,000, and they're going to push, you know, 12,000 to 15,000. I think if they do that, that's a huge success. I mean, the problem is these gates constantly over-exaggerate. They say that this is what I know dealing with buildings. They typically exaggerate the gate by 33%. So if you, you know, people hear this, they're like, oh, they sold 10,000 seats. And it's like, no, they didn't sell 10,000. They sold 7,000. So they're constantly exaggerating it. So getting a real number is, it kind of convolutes the reality of the situation. You know, anybody, any fighter selling over 10,000 seats minus very few is a huge success. And I think this fight's going to do very well at the end.
Jim, I had a question about what you said earlier. You said when they started to flex the ticket sales, that it kind of put them in a precarious situation. Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, let's say you're going to go to the fight and the tickets go on sale, and your buddies buy tickets, and they said, hey, listen, we got some great seats, lower level, dead center on the long end, a good row, and we paid $210. And you're like, damn, that's a good deal. I want to go too. So then the next day you log on and you decide to buy the tickets, and those same seats are $1,000. Well, nobody's buying that. It's like you paid $200 and now I got to pay over $1,000. It just kind of stopped the sales. you know, what I always tell promoters is the best advertising tool you have is the person that already bought a ticket. If you and your buddies are all going to the fight, you know what's going to happen? Your other friends are all going to be like, oh, you guys are going? Yeah, we're going. You're going? Yeah, I'm going. Shit, I better get a ticket. I want to go too. But in this case, the advertisers saying, hey, we're going to the fight. We got seats. Why don't you go? Perfect. Let me check. At $1,000, I mean, that's just too much money. I mean, that's a lot of money for a ticket. And it's not ringside. You're talking just an average lower level seat. So momentum they built. And then go ahead.
I was going to say, how big is promotion when it comes to a fight like this right here? And do you think that the boxing promoters have done enough to promote this fight?
I think they've done a good job. I mean, they've been, you know, both the guys have been in and out of the news. They did the tour. I mean, the simple fact that TMZ was picking up when Deontay punched the mascot and they made like a controversy out of that, that was brilliant. I mean, that puts it into the public light. Both guys are great salesperson, you know, salespeople. I mean, they both do a good job promoting. I don't think the issue is the promotion. I think the issue was ticket sales were so strong the first 24 hours that they just got too excited and raised them up too high.
Jim, let me interrupt there. You keep repeating the ticket sales were strong in the beginning and ticket sales were strong in the beginning. Now we have a, should I say, rival promoter by the name of Eddie Hearn that did an interview and kind of let the boxing public know, like, Jesus, if Anthony Joshua sold 1 million tickets, excuse me, $1 million worth of tickets in the first 25 minutes, I'd faint, but it would be from fear because he usually sells 5 to 6.
Oh, no, he said 10.
Yep.
Well, there you go. He said 10. So, I mean, again, how big is this push that you say they had in the beginning and how well are they doing? Because when you came on, you said ticket sales are doing well in your opinion and you think that, you know, people are just misleading in the media. So how many tickets do you estimate are sold already?
I think they've sold probably close to 7,000-8,000 seats already, which is good. Remember, I mean, in Los Angeles, you can do 80% of your business the last 36 hours. So it's not like they're behind the eight ball on the thing. And comparing the English market, you know, with what they do with Joshua, which is absolutely phenomenal. No one's arguing that. I mean, it's two different things. I mean, and Hurt knows that he's been in America now. He's done a couple shows. He's done a show at Nassau Coliseum. He's done a show, two shows at one show at Barclays, a show in Chicago, Boston. I mean, I've worked those shows. It's not the same market. And Anthony Joshua is a different animal as far as what he has going on in England. I mean, it's almost like a soccer type mentality with these big arenas there. So it's just two different things. I mean, it's two totally different markets. You know, listen, this fight is going to do good when it comes down to it. It's a very exciting fight. Both guys have big personalities. And I think, you know, like I said, they got a little bit over aggressive with the pricing. Now they're back down to a better number. And I think tickets are going to start selling again.
My last question, when you say they're back down to a better number, have they reduced from the original price that you first seen them at on opening day, or are they just back down to the opening price?
I think, and I was looking at my notes, a lot of the notes I have, it basically back down to where they started. That being said, the center premium level seats, which are excellent, I don't believe those were initially $200. And those are $200 now, which if you want to go to the fight, you want to sit, it's a dead center view straight down into the ring. You get the bigger seats, you get the waitress service, the private bathrooms. I mean, that's not a bad deal at all. I mean, for a fan, listen, $200 isn't cheap. But for what you're getting and for a fight of this magnitude, especially the fact that they are heavyweights, so you don't have to, you know what I mean? The men are bigger in the ring, so you don't have to be right on top of the action to get a perfect view. I think that's a real good value. Hopefully, you know, they advertise $75 tickets, which still haven't really become available to the public. I think they're going to put some of those out eventually, and that will generate some sales also.
Hey, Jim, real quick, you said your first fight was Holyfield and who?
Lennox Lewis, the rematch.
Oh, shit. So that was November right there in L.A.
Yeah. And I was trying to say, can we compare those ticket sales to the ticket sales now? Say what now?
It was Thomas and Mack Center.
You know what's interesting? Yep, Thomas and Mack Center. you know, that was one of King's last really huge fights. And I mean, certainly he was one of the greatest promoters of all time, still is. But the ticket sales to this day, I believe that's like the number six largest gate in the history of Nevada, which is pretty outstanding if you think about it. I know it did over 20 million at the gate, and it was just a massive scene. Obviously, the first fight ended in controversy, and it was something else. That was a good time. I remember going to the fight. Obviously, I worked it, and it was an absolute packed house at the Thomas & Mack. They had close to 20,000 people there. And like I said, the gate was about $20 million, which is still one of the largest gates in Nevada boxing history.
Do you ever see the heavyweight division, like, getting back to that? You know what I'm saying? Like, where fans come out and support like that and, like, get another $20 million gate somehow?
Yeah, I think we're kind of getting back towards that. I mean, I believe if this fight would have been in Las Vegas, it certainly wouldn't have got to $20 million, but it would be, you know, this fight, you know, December 1st, I believe, in Vegas at MGM Grand, which would be the perfect arena for it, would have done some big numbers, and it really would have given Deontay some really good, you know, just, you know, a pay-per-view fight against Fury, who's undefeated, really would have, you know, brought more eyeballs on him. And the fact of the matter is, with the way the sport's going right now, I think the heavyweight division is going to do real good. And eventually, you know, if he was ever to fight Joshua, especially if that fight was in America, in Las Vegas, I think that type of fight would have a potential to shatter all, you know, pretty much any heavyweight fight in the history of the city. I don't think it would get to the level of, obviously, Pacquiao Mayweather or Mayweather McGregor, but I think they could make a run at, you know, $30, $40 million on a fight like that.
Jim, I'm sorry.
So you feel like Las Vegas is the best spot for a big fight? It shouldn't be like nowhere else, because you think Vegas can draw the most attention?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just when we had the big fights in Vegas, what we find out, we get so many people that typically wouldn't go to a fight, say if it was in Los Angeles or New York. It's because of Vegas. It's because of the marketing of the casinos that bring the different people in. It creates that atmosphere. I mean, certainly the big fights in New York, I'm not going to say they're not huge, and I've worked big fights in LA, but there's something about Vegas that just brings people in. And the fact of the matter is, it's easy for people. You don't got to rent a car. You get to the airport, it's a 5-minute drive to the casinos. You're on the strip. You know, Los Angeles, New York, for a lot of people, it gets a little more complicated, and it kind of, they shy away from it. In Vegas, it just seems to me that the biggest fights, you know, belong here. And I wish the fight December 1st was here. I think it would have been a whole different, you know, a whole different experience for the fight, you know, just for everybody going to it.
My last question. Justin Timberlake has a concert that night in Vegas. Do you think there was a issue with them of not having a fight in Vegas?
Yeah, there was an issue as far as where the fight could go. You know, I was hoping they would have pushed it off. I know there was an empty room on December 8th, which, you know, in Vegas history, the biggest ticket-wise fight demand was when Mayweather fought Hatton. So I was like, well, listen, they got they got an empty room on December 8th. That'd be a perfect memory of that weekend and have the fight there. So there was definitely an issue in Vegas as far as what was available. But, yeah, that certainly played part of it. And I think you'll see in Los Angeles you guys mentioned that Lakers play on Friday night. Certainly the fighters are going to be there, and that will definitely help with the promotional push as far as Deontay being courtside and everything else.
Jim, before we let you go, we got a question from the chat from Jeffrey Durin. He wants to know, could we ask you, in your expertise, and I guess it's self-explanatory for us fight fans, or are we deluded, right? But in your expertise, has it been easier to sell tickets to fights that have a solid undercard? Does that help generate ticket sales?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, when they first announced this fight, you know, they had a lot of different rumors as far as what the undercard was going to be. I mean, they were, you know, now it looks like Jared Hurd's on the card or Luis Ortiz is on the card. Yeah, definitely a solid undercard brings in more people. And, you know, a lot of times you see that the undercards are announced so late, you know, which I think they do that also, the promoters, because it kind of brings more interest back in the fight when it's lagging a little bit. But yeah, certainly a good undercard. Definitely gets people to come, you know, come and spend their money.
Well, all right, Jim. Thank you for calling in. If you want, give out your social media for those that are listening. They can follow you. And thank you again for taking out the time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yep, I appreciate it very much. Yeah, you hit me up at on Twitter at KO Tickets. That has all the company information. And call me anytime. I'm always working. And gentlemen, I do appreciate it.
Thanks for your time, Jim. Thanks for your time.
Jim, have you a great day. You guys know the number to call in, 1-425-569-5241. Press one time to voice your opinion right here on the Voice of the People hotline. Don't type when you can Skype. I mean, just add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. I seen Ronald Finkley in the chat saying, Ness, I don't Skype. Well, then call in. It's simple, 1-425-569-5241. Going to take a chance on this blocked caller here. But first,
these calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Hello, sir. Good morning or afternoon.
Hey, you what? It's your boy Shaggy here. I'm just calling on Ness saying I'm coming for you, and that's all I'm going to say. I've seen the videos that you're fighting. You ain't shit.
Ooh-wee. Talk that shit to him there, Shaggy.
Shaggy, you sound Scottish.
And coming out here from Calgary. It's cold.
Who even Calgary, baby?
Even
bringing a Calgary for your ass.
Even worse, nobody on this program has ever heard of a Canadian that can fight. That being said, you enjoy your cold day, and we shall meet. We shall meet. All right. Well, I knew you always know it's a spoof call when it's a block call, right?
No, no, bro. He said he's coming for you. That's all you got to say. He said, that's all I got to say. I'm coming for you.
I'm coming for you.
I mean, it didn't seem like he was trying to spoof to me. Like, he was serious. Don't be shaking now, homie.
I don't like you. Don't like me. It's not likely. We'll ever be friends.
Know what I'm saying? Stop it, B. But anyway, final thoughts, Mike.
Final thoughts are I'm with my guy Jim.
Hey, one moment, sir. We have some callers there. I don't know if you guys know. You have to press one. Since you haven't, that's why we've hit the outro, because we like looking at those. All right, now here we go. Now they're pressing one. It's like you got to tell them every day to press one.
I mean, sometimes they're at work, they busy, and they just listening.
Okay, well, seems like now Shaggy's called in, so now here's Canadian Jose. You know, I guess he's going to call and say something funny.
Popping all this champagne, popping all this rosé, getting money like Jose, chain cold, Norway, shorty wants that foreplay, I'm like, no way, got a rock like Coldplay, chilling it.
OJ.
Getting cheese like Green Bay. Call me Aaron Rodgers. Hopped out that Dodger.
That shit rock. Hey, that shit rocking, bro. Hang on, I tell you.
That's Danny Garcia. Sure,
that is, man. That is.
That's Danny Garcia rapping?
You know what?
First yeah. Of
all, get the fuck out of here.
Man, the one and only, man.
That's Danny Garcia.
Hey, that shit kind of rocking, bro. Like, hey, call me Aaron. Hey, killing it, OJ. Nigga, I like that shit.
You south ass motherfucker. Yo, that's funny as hell. You like it. Ah!
It was nice. He was on beat. He had a good flow. But start my guy time over there. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. After you chewed it up?
Yeah. No worries. No worries. I just wanted to say that yes, we are. We actually have the show listening in the background here at the store now, at the boxing store. And that was, in fact, Shaggy that called in. And he is, in fact, right now as we speak, he's doing some push-ups here, man.
I told you your ass, Ness. Don't ever duck Shaggy. He coming for your ass. Have a border wars in Canada.
You know it. And Mike, you're going to be there, buddy. We're gonna bring down Mike, too, man. He's got to witness the co-host. Because, Mike, you might have to take over the show all on your own afterwards, man.
Damn, you're going to do him like that?
Yo, B, they don't want no sauce. And first of all, it's like I said, you know, I can't think of nothing until after December 1st. Then after December 1st, we could talk. But right now, well, you know, I'm focused.
We can
do that later.
No, I'm just saying I'm not gonna be busy when
I was just fuck with you because Wilder's in camp, you in camp, kinda, you know, trying to make a joke.
I'm just keeping the G. I'm all work. I play when I could play.
That means he's ducking like Dillian White. Call him Nestor Ducking Gibbs.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not rich. I got to work.
I feel you on that.
Yeah. Yo, that Jim Boone guy, though, man, to be honest, he's a great resource, man. I'm glad you guys brought him on, man. He's really cool. I enjoy hearing him a lot, man. He does give really good insight on ticket purchasing and everything else. And I was just chatting with the boys today and saying, I believe this is a fight where you got to kind of roll the dice. I know I've said it before in the past, and it doesn't always work, but I don't think this fight's going to sell through, guys. It's not going to sell out, in my opinion. And I think there's going to be tickets to be had the day before, the day of. If you got the guts to do it, I think you can get some really good deals. There's too much competition in L.A. right now. The Lakers are playing 3 times in 4 days. You know, like, unfortunately, Deontay isn't the draw that, you know, that we'd like him to be. That he should be. He just isn't.
But, dude.
And he's in a Mexican territory.
Yo, he said that the max is 10 to 12,000, and they've already sold 7, and it's still a month out. Like, slow down.
If they start selling that 12, plus, yes. Believe they're going to open up more and more seats. And also, yes. I believe there's a NFL game there that Sunday, too. So, everybody coming in, man, and if they like put the tickets like down for that week or like Friday, Saturday, I'm pretty sure they can sell some more tickets during that week with all the fans coming in. Cause I'll definitely be there.
Yeah, and of the 7,000 that sold, there's a lot of people that are at the bottom hoping to resell a ticket or two, right? And I mean 7,000 of 12, that's just over 50%, man. That's not really that much, right? So I mean. I don't know.
Yeah, just over 50%, you know, with a month left.
But a month.
I don't know about y'all, like,
bro. You're out of here. You're not a boomeranger anymore.
I'm the kind of guy that like doesn't buy tickets until like I absolutely have to. Yeah, I'm always trying to get the
money. Everybody does that. Everybody's looking for a deal. Everybody's looking for a deal, so they wait last minute.
Exactly.
Jose himself flies from Canada all over. And next time he'll tell you he buys his tickets the same day as well. Yeah, let me go to California 274.
Hello, Cali.
Just wrote
that bud out there.
Just wrote this.
I need some of that good Cali bud when I touch down in L.A.
Cali, who's this?
Yo, this Noah Jones, man. What's good with it?
Noah Jones.
Noah or no?
Noah
Jones, what up in the Bay Area?
Bring that fluid, baby.
What's popping with y'all, man? Abbott DVV listener, man. Love the show. Love y'all. Hey, first and foremost, man, we got to get this shit together, man. All these UK callers sitting up here trying to make it seem like they actually got some shit over there. Y'all trash. If you're listening to me right now, all your fighters is trash. All of them is trash. Anthony Joshua is trash. You know that. I know that. My mama know it. And all y'all niggas sitting up here trying to make excuses for them. We're fight fans. We want to see fights. Why are you making excuses for these cats not to fight? Gets on my nerves. UK, what's the other dude's name? The dude from the UK. Mike, that's his name too?
Nah, no, Rob.
Rob. I used to like Rob, man. I liked him better than the other dude that was on the show. I forget his name. He cried too much. But, anyway, long story short, man, I ain't going to keep y'all calling. I'm over here working right now. I'll probably hit slide in the lunchroom real quick to talk this talk. But, Ness, don't let that Canadian dude punk you, man. You better scrape that nigga, man, for real. Whatever his name is, you better scrape him.
Nigga got quiet, bro. He don't want that work.
Yo, thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling in, Noah. But let me tell you, man, I'm 2-0 against these chumps out here, man. It ain't a caller signed up that took Ness out, man. 409-600. First time caller?
What? No, Nestor Field.
Oh.
This is Jeffrey DeRuin, baby. What's going on?
What up, Jeff? Man, listen, I'm trying to put this phone list back together again. Mike be messing it up.
I said that you.
Oh, no, man. You know, I haven't called in a couple of years, actually.
But damn. What's going on, homie? Well, hey, nice to meet you, brother. Nice to meet you, brother.
Oh, yeah, man. Pleasure, Mike. I just wanted to call in. You know, I really think it's sad. You know, we got two of possibly the best heavyweights on the planet right now. This fight, in my opinion, is being really promoted terribly. It seems to me like you know, yeah, you know, yeah, Wilder punching that mascot, this and that, but you know, you really don't see a lot of promotion on TVs, man. And
they just put out a promo. Like being, they just put out a promo, you know, well, like, I mean, yesterday with the both of them on like Thrones.
Yeah. I can't lie to you, bro. I don't really watch TV, man.
You know, Ness, I get all that, but you know, it just seems like, man, they really don't promote these fights like they used to, you know, 20, 30 years ago, even 15 years ago. You know, I remember when Shane Mosley was getting ready to fight Oscar De La Hoya. And, you know, I live down here in Texas, Southeast Texas, right outside of Houston. And I think it was, well, it wasn't Tom Joyner the morning show back then, but it was a show like it on 102.5, man. And every day, you know, you had Shane Mosley. You had Oscar De La Hoya on there, you know, promoting the fight, man. They don't really do that kind of stuff anymore for these fights. And I mean, for this caliber of fight, man, it just seems like, you know, this fight card should be sold out already. And it just seems to me like they don't really, really promote to the casual fan like they need to anymore. That's where your money really comes from in these big fights. And that's really what tips these big fights, like the Mayweather fights and things of that nature, you know, to your really big sellers. And not only that, you know, Wilder really hasn't been promoted to being a pay-per-view fighter just yet, in my opinion. You know, seems to me like this fight should have been on regular Showtime and, you know, just really pushed, you know, to maybe build towards a Joshua fight. Should Wilder even beat Fury? Because I believe this is going to be a tough fight for him. You know, what's your guys' thoughts on that?
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. This is tough. This is tough. This is, listen, if he was able to do that, the motherfucking Vladimir, you know, you got to respect that. You know, no one's done that to Vlad that way. You know, lesser men have beat Vlad like Samuel Peters, but not like that. Not like that. But Jeffrey, right, man, thank you for calling in. I know that you're always going to win. What's up?
To Jeffrey's point, yeah, like they should start doing like what Shane Mosley and Oscar De La Hoya were doing. Like, go to the radio stations and like do drops. Like, hey, you're listening to so and so, and you can check out me fighting on December 1st. You know what I'm saying? Yada yada. Like, they should definitely start like doing drops and stuff for, like, radio stations.
I mean, they could do that, a thing of the past from 20 years ago, or they can, I mean, you know,
people still drive the work.
Or they can do that and everything else. You know,
I mean, I'm saying, yeah,
not more accessible to everyone.
I'm saying, and so when you go to these stations, incorporate that in the promotion. Like, he went to the Breakfast Club. He could have did a drop for the Breakfast Club real quick, probably take like 15, 20 seconds. And that can be looped over and over and over again.
Let me get to this Skype caller. We got Steve. Talk to me.
Hello.
What up?
I don't know who that clown was just now who phoned in, slagging English callers off and their fighters and all that. Sounds like a bit of jealousy to me. Because he knows that we're killing it at the moment. Just jealous and bitter. That's all he is. So, and secondly, if Wilder was a draw, he'd already be fighting in Vegas already, because that's where all the big fights are, as you know, Ness. Do you know what I mean? So he just ain't a draw. Simple as that. 7,000, 12,000, do you know what I mean? He ain't a draw. So, I don't know what else to say, really. Just, He should be by now. They're all at home gonna buy pay per view anyway, so that he can get his 2.5 million, and then get his 60-40 split. That's why they're not buying tickets, isn't it? So I don't know.
Hey, let me ask you a question real quick. How much are the tickets to a AJ fight for, like, just like a typical seat?
It varies. You get the cheap one. It's a stadium, so obviously the higher you go, the cheaper they are. Do you know what I mean? So
being so high up in the stadium, you can't really see the ring.
Yeah, but they got a jumbotron, right?
it's about the atmosphere anyway.
Oh, okay, about the atmosphere, not the actual fight. Okay, gotcha.
No, you can still see the fight. They've got the big screens and all that, mate, as well. But I'm just saying,
wasn't it raining last time?
Huh?
Wasn't it raining last time?
Yeah, it's raining last time, yeah.
Wasn't it cold?
That atmosphere was good.
Roof open?
honestly, them show, our shows, they're shit up, mate. Honestly, you got to be there to understand it.
Okay, all right.
It's just it's different, honestly. It's quality. Also, I wanted to say about Wilder. Keep saying
that. Hey, let me ask you really one last quick question. With those 90,000 people in the stadium, has AJ broken the gate record yet?
Yeah. What, for a boxing?
Yeah. For boxing. I could have sworn Canelo and Triple G just did like 15,000, 18,000 in the stadium. I mean, in an arena and had a bigger gate.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But that's Canelo. That ain't Wilder.
Okay, all right.
Canelo's Mexican, ain't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Wilder ain't doing them numbers, is he? Let's be honest.
Well, hey,
as I said, if he was, he would be fighting Vegas.
You have all the ammo you need. But if he does, please call back here.
Yeah, mate, 100%. I don't mind being wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong. Of course.
Yeah, no problem. Shit, I'm wrong every day.
Steve.
Can I just say one more thing?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Wilder keeps saying about White should fight Ortiz to get his shot. Who was his Ortiz to get his shot? Because he's only just fought him and he's fought him first.
Ortiz was his Ortiz.
But he was already champion then. That's what I'm saying, Ja. Who was his Ortiz to get his shot at the title?
There was a different landscape at the time.
He's got no right to say that.
Bermain Stiverne, while people want to have, you know, fickle memory, Bermain Stiverne was not considered what he's considered now. When he fought Areola, he beat the shit out of Areola. And HBO was so invested in Areola that they gave him a rematch and he beat the shit out of him again. You know, now we talk shit about Stiverne, but, you know, that's not the perception of Stiverne.
Nez, what is Areola like? What's he done? All he's ever been is a walking punch bag for everyone.
Maybe so, but he's gotten to the top of the mountain over and over.
In a shit division. He ain't doing it no more, is he?
Okay, so if it's a shit division...
He's not doing it now. Listen to me.
If it's a shit division, why are you looking for an Ortiz for Wilder before the Stiverne fight? Because Wilder and Areola came up in the same generation. What are you talking about?
But Wilder's still got no right to start demanding people fight certain people.
So wait a minute. I have to understand your reasoning behind that. Wilder doesn't have right because he doesn't sell tickets, right?
No.
Okay, pause right there because let's not forget that AJ demanded Wilder fight Dillon to get an AJ shot. So Wilder demanding Dillon fight Lewis to get a Wilder shot, what is the difference?
Well, yeah, but I don't agree with that either.
Oh, okay.
I don't agree with that either. Do you know what I mean? Wilder's a champion. Now, he's a champion. But I just don't think Stiverne, yeah, he's just a better version of Areola, let's be honest. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. And Vladimir Klitschko defended his title for 12 years and beat everyone that was there because that's who was there.
Yeah, so why didn't Wilder try and fight him?
Isn't there a record of them trying to make a fight? There's record of him trying to make the fight. There's record of Finkel saying they didn't want to make the fight. There's record of Klitschko saying he didn't want to fight Wilder. Like, come on, don't act like this is new to you.
There's records of Wilder talking a lot. And that's
I'm sure. I'm sure the way we both are talking a lot, but the fact remains is you guys and I fucking bunch you all in like crabs in a barrel.
Yeah, I know you do, but then we do you, Ness.
That's okay. And you know when it's gonna stop. Steve, let me tell you when it's gonna stop. When Wilder beats the shit out of AJ. The same way that Earl Spence. That. the same way same way Errol Spence beat the shit out of Kell Brook, and Kell Brook ain't never been the same.
The same way
Danny Garcia, the 7-1 underdog, beat the shit out of Khan, and he ain't never been the same.
Oi, most English people hate Amir.
Yo,
Khan.
Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else, Papa. An American beat the shit out of James DeGale, and he ain't never been the same. You want me to continue?
Who's the American that beat the shit out of James DeGale?
Caleb fucking Truax. He's not even our A fighter. We sent our B fighter over there to whoop your ass and still got that title off.
I'm not worried about that.
Of course. You're not worried about facts. You ain't worried about facts.
Why are you bringing up other fighters?
Same reason you bring up other fighters.
We're talking about Wilder, and
exactly.
You're deflecting to other fighters.
No, I'm not deflecting. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. Same thing you're doing. You're bringing up resume.
Do you know why we bring up resume?
Because you're scared of the fight.
Because we can.
No, because you don't want the fight. Ned, you want to give reasons why the fight shouldn't happen. Listen. Resume is a reason why the fight shouldn't happen. But the fight is going to happen. And you guys are going to cry like you always do. You always cry.
Listen, yesterday, right, you was naming Dylan White's resume, yeah, on your show.
Yeah.
Do a show and do that for Wilders. Oh, dare you. You won't do it because he's your friend. But at the end of the day,
doggy,
you know what I mean? you're meant to be neutral.
Doggy, Steve, you see that you're a fucking sheep? You're a sheep by saying
and
that.
You're a Clinton. You're a Clinton for Wilder.
Let me explain, my friend. You're a sheep. And this is my reason.
And you're no different.
But let me explain. You got to give me a reason why you're calling me a sheep. My reason is that you have the audacity to say that Dylan White has a better resume. You said, yo, do a show on Wilder's resume because you did one on Dylan's and I don't have the balls to do it on Wilder. When Wilder, with Luis Ortiz, defeats everything on Dylan White's resume and the fact that I'm not done.
What?
And the fact that you can't admit that, the fact that you have to make me say it out loud tells me that you're a fucking sheep. Okay, because we don't need to do a Wilder show on his resume. Luis Ortiz is a better fighter than everybody on fucking Dillian White's resume. And Tyson Fury, who he signed to motherfucking fight, is better as well. But you want to talk about resume and past because you're scared. You're scared. But there's only so long AJ could fucking run and only so long you motherfuckers can make excuses. He's coming.
Let me talk, please. Right? So Ortiz is better on his resume, but how many fights has White had? Please explain.
Steve. Yeah? Steve, let me tell you something. You're not a Patreon and I've given you over fucking 9 minutes, all right? So let me tell you. Bye. Okay? Because you want to talk resume, we want to talk fighting. UK love to be financial advisors, and I don't have time. I don't have time for financial fucking advisors. Talk to me about fights. Talk to me about punching. That's what I want to talk about. I ain't got time to talk about your guy selling 90,000 tickets and he can't demand and he should demand. I want to talk about fighting. I want to talk about your guy beating my guy. That's what I want to fucking talk about.
Real quick, we got a super chat from Kaz. Another drunk UK caller. Put down that pint. And if you're listening right now and you like what you're hearing, go ahead and smash that thumbs up button. Helps with the visibility of the show. And if you really want to support the Boxing Voice, head over to theboxingvoice.com and click on our affiliate sponsors link. We have everything ranging from Blue Apron to Amazon to Own It to... And if you're in trouble, we got fast break bail bonds. So, hey, check it out and do your thing.
I think we got a first-time call. We're going to 626-493. And if you're not first-time, you know, we're rebuilding this list as it just continues to happen. But tell us, who's this?
Yo, dog, it's cancer. You got to
Oh, shit. Number, dog. Nah, you know what? It's another one, though. I got canceled for 223.
Yeah.
I should know you.
Yo, there you go. Call you, switch your number a lot.
I should know you would have called in.
My Texas number, you know.
Young Cancel, so anyways, talk to me.
Yeah, hey, hold on. Fuck that. Drop my motherfucking soundbite for Cantu. What you mean?
Oh, that's right. He does deserve his intro. He does deserve that.
Yo, we good though.
Nah, not we.
Good.
It's the champ, Cantu. Where'd you find this?
Man, I love that shit, bro.
Yo, what's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Yo, this is a good source you guys had at the beginning of the show. So now it gives us a chance to like have a good opinion, an educated opinion on, you know, how many seats and like the money side of this fight. So being that this fight is in L.A., people are not there. They failed to mention that there is a large Latino fan base, Latin fan base in Los Angeles. I was at Luis Ortiz's last fight on Mikey Garcia's undercard, and there was a pretty good reception, and just the vibe was good, man. So I think that people are discrediting how many local Latin fans will go to this fight, being that Deontay Wilder, he's fought on Golden Boy Promotions. He does have a Latino fan base. So put that into account. And I think my prediction for how many seats this one will sell, I think it sells at least 12,000. And it could possibly sell more. I think it could sell more, like I said, if they lower the price to like 75. A bunch of local cats are going to buy the fight, dude. I'm telling you, the fight's going to be big. LA is ready for this one, so let's get it.
Young Cantu, thanks for calling in, brother.
Real quick, I see the chat from Adi Jami. They are not boxing fans. They are sheep. They just want to be happy to have their champion. What does a resume have to do with both men fighting? And also, we have one from Jack. What's the truth? I can't find it, bro. I should just fucking.
I got it. I got it. We got one from Jack is the truth. Nothing rattles Ness more than a UK accent. That's right, man. Keep calling in then. Let's go to my co-host, Hard at Work. In the UK.
And the main thing we cannot forget is I am the unified heavyweight champion of the world.
To the fight, Derek Chisora, Big Baby Miller, Joe Joyce. You can all have it, Dominic Brazil, whoever else is in America too. All of it.
BoxingWiz.com.
Fellas, how you doing?
What's going on, Robbie?
How you doing?
All good, all good. I want to answer that guy's question. He asked you who was Wilder's Ortiz. If he's talking, who was it before the title shot? Well, it was Jason Gavin when Wilder was 32-0. Just so, you know, if anyone was wondering the answer to that question. And I don't know, side note, Joshua fought him in his 11th fight. But anyway, let's get on to the ticket. That's great. Great guest that you got.
Ho, shut the fuck up.
And anyway, the sheep is you. But the guest you had, I forgot his name, forgive me. Boone.
Oh, you forgot your source.
Yeah, I know. All right. I forgot his name.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
It was at KO Tickets, I think his name was. You finished? Are you going to give me the Gary treatment? We came in about 100 soundbites last night.
Hey, you Gary today, that dog. No, I'm just fucking with you. Go ahead.
You suck.
No, that was a really good insight. It was quite interesting. And he kind of went along with what I thought, that this fight maybe should have landed in Vegas. Obviously, LA stumped up the big, site fee. So it's where it is. But I just know that a lot of UK guys would have definitely gone for a Vegas trip, especially around, you know, Christmas, Christmas party. You know, the lads all getting together, going for, a big drink and go and support Tyson. I think the Brits definitely would have traveled a lot more for the Vegas venue than maybe LA will prove to be. I don't know, but yeah, it was really interesting to hear, like, you know, that we hear that they exaggerate the gate, and it, usually you can take a third off. You know, it was real good insight. So shout out for getting the guy on. I hope this fight does really well. Obviously, it just makes the heavyweight division a lot more, you know, booming, and get it back to maybe its glory days. But yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I've obviously noticed there's a lot of people that have bought tickets and then they're up on StubHub, so they're looking to make some money. So whether those tickets sell, you know, hopefully they do, but you know, we just need this fight to do good numbers and you know, get that heavyweight division back and booming. And you know, obviously, like we've always discussed, you know, Joshua selling the stadiums, and it's not the same amount of money gate wise for like a Canelo in a much smaller amount of seats, but you know, the heavyweight division deserves these you know, these events, these big nights, because these big guys are putting on you know, big displays, you know, hard hitting and knockouts and stuff like that. So I just want boxing to be booming, obviously, because it's the sport we love, the sport we talk about. I know we get into details of negotiations and splits and the business side of it, but at the end of the day, I just want to see some great boxing on the big stage and getting the spotlight that it deserves. But yeah, really interesting to have that guy on and give us his take and his knowledge on it.
Well, all right, Rob, let me go out to my Boomeranga in New Jersey. Why Eddie was trying to creep in? You heard that?
The king is what I mean. My man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Hold up.
King of the flag. What's good, fellas? Hey, listen, man. I had a question for Rob. I don't know if he's still on the line, but you know, I know, like, culturally, socially. Okay, Rob, cool. I want you to answer this. Like, I know culturally, socially, UK artists don't feel like they're international unless they make a stage, unless they make a splash in the United States. But financially, I'm pretty sure from the UK coming to the United States is almost like us going to Mexico or us going to the Dominican Republic as far as the exchange rate.
Hell so yeah.
My point is that, all right, so when whether it's Vegas or California, I think people in the UK, if they got a little bit of something, they can afford to travel to the States and fill up LA, no less. And it's a destination. They don't give a fuck. They're going to be like, you know what, shit, I haven't gone out to LA. I haven't been to La La Land. And they're going to come to fucking La La Land with their bread, and they're going to enjoy the Staples Center, the StubHub, the whole. They're going to take in the scenery in addition to the fight. So Vegas, I think having a fight in Vegas, that's, you know, one way to try to get people. But I think L.A. is the best. Me, personally, the shit should have been in New York. They could not have. But if it was going to be in New York, I think they felt like they would have needed Madison Square Garden for New York for a fight.
They could have put that shit right in the Barclay. Yo, that's what they should have did, bro. He was doing eight to 10,000.
Yes, I agree.
They played themselves. I mean, I guess not.
Like,
I guess not. The dude said, you know, they sold about 7. They only trying to seat about 12. So, I mean, I guess unless we hear a report saying that they're going to make it bigger because the top bowl isn't open.
Man, I feel 90 like seconds. If they would have had it at the Barclays, you really would have been crowning the Barclays the new home of boxing for New York. So, you know, all that Madison Square, the home of, yeah, that's unless or until. Because truly, the Barclays is taking over. So I'm with you on that one. It should have been at Barclays. But because it's in L.A., and L.A. is, you know, comparably expensive to New York, it's not going to make a difference. So the remaining seats, I think they're trying to see who with that disposable income from overseas are going to buy the tickets.
60 seconds.
You know, it's a new world we live in. So everybody hustling, trying to flip tickets. You can't knock nobody for that. But again, you know, because we have that contingency that will call and all of a sudden they turn into hedge funders instead of fight fans and they want us to break down the money, you know, this is a part of it. But ultimately, they got to get in the ring. So we're talking Wilder Fury. We're talking about at least the man that got the balls to jump in the ring. But don't tell me about the other guy. I respect him.
but not in the same league as these guys. So when we say something about Joshua, I'm talking about everybody that's a fight fan. When we start asking questions, that's the reason. Punching after the bell. I'm out.
I'm in. Real quick, we got a super chat from Larry Merchant. I was calling Steve. If I wasn't a fan, I wouldn't super chat. When Ness shouts,
10 seconds.
He said, I was caller Steve. If I wasn't a fan, I wouldn't super chat. When Ness shouts, he took the L. Stop lying. I ain't fucking. I always shout, bro.
That's
always.
Today, brother. They at your neck. Every caller been on your ass.
They could be at anybody's. Now, we got some more UK callers on the line right now. We're going to go to, who do we got?
What, 6:30?
Yeah, we got, let me see. It looks like. Man, what's up? All right, we got Stefan is up.
Hello?
Yep.
Hey, what's going on? Long time no speak. I see, Ness, lately you're getting a lot of hate towards the UK fans. What's going on?
It's that time of the year, man. You know, my guy what's versus your on, guy. Man? My guy versus your guy. There could only be one. One face, one name, one champion. His name Deontay Wilder.
I know he's your mate and he sends you, you know, smiley emojis all the time, but come on, man. His demands are ridiculous. I want that fight to happen. Look, Anthony Joshua wants the fight. Why is it not happening now? Why don't they start negotiating? You're saying that AJ's ducking, but he wants to negotiate. What's going on?
You see the deluded nature of the UK? Let's negotiate while you're training for the biggest fight of your life.
Doesn't matter. He doesn't have to negotiate. He negotiate with his managers.
Yeah,
simple as that.
He has to agree. Remember, they work for him.
Hold on, but if he wants to fight, he's already agreed.
Why would my management negotiate?
Come on, man. They got to bring him the contract. Let him know what's on there in the fine print. Come on, homie.
Come on, he wants the fight. If you want the fight, you'll have that fight. Come on.
Come on.
He doesn't really want it. He wants to try and. You know, he says a lot of stuff that are contradictory, and you never pull him up about his contradictory points.
Dude, all you got to do is become a patron and put your question in. Everybody complains. They want me to ask specific questions. When I put out a post, you can ask the question.
No, but your questioning to Wilder is a bit biased.
All
it's,
right.
It's never so that's why, it's biased questions.
So that's why I come with dozens of questions from the people and release it publicly.
Yeah.
So
why don't you
I say it by name. So if Stefan has a question, it will be Stefan from the UK and he will address you.
Okay. Do you know what? I'm actually going to join it specifically for that to see what he says, because he says a lot of stuff.
Well, listen, I don't only do it for Wilder. When I go see any fighter, I always put out an X blank fighter, a question, Patreon only. It doesn't matter if it's Eddie Hearn, Big Baby, Jesse Vargas. It doesn't matter. Wherever I'm going, the patrons have first dibs at Accent, and the videos are public on YouTube, and they do phenomenal too. The public love to listen to the public's questions and the champ asking them or whatever fighter.
And so, you can sign up for as little as $3.
That's right. You can sign up for $3, ask your question, and say goodbye. You could then cancel. I mean, but you know.
Another thing. You used to clown DAZN. Now DAZN is hot to you now. You clowned it in the beginning.
Clowned it. The same guy that's been doing live fight chats, the guy that's been telling people to sign up to DAZN, the guy that's been telling people who call in and say, I'm not signing up to DAZN because of Eddie, calling them ignorant. I was clowning DAZN.
You guys are really deluded. In the beginning when you had Matt Stacks there, you used to clown DAZN when it first came out.
All of a sudden,
a little bit afterwards, now you start getting on the... on the whole DAZN thing. You were clowning it at first.
I know not what you speak of, but become a boomerang and you can get more time. Thank you for calling in, Stefan. You are punching after the bell. It's time to go to a Wiley in the UK. Talk to me.
A Wiley.
Yo, Mandem.
What?
Mandem. Sorry, I had a bit of an issue with my mic. Can you hear me, guys? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really get to listen to the first sort of 45 minutes so far, but I'm guessing it's Nesta just spewing out all sorts of mad negativity or whatever. But regardless, I think, quick question though, did I spark this conversation? Be honest, when I called in yesterday.
What conversation?
Of the ticket sales.
Well, we got 7,000 tickets sold. We're hearing they have it scaled to 12. So we're short five with 30 days to go. I mean, what's the problem?
What's the problem? The problem is a month ago, you told me this is the biggest heavyweight clash and now he don't need AJ. Now he's the man and he's this and he's that.
Well,
guess what, bro?
Well, Wally, is AJ on the card?
What do you mean AJ on the card? AJ don't need Wilder.
Is AJ
to be selling out 20 seats? You've got fucking Dillian White and Tony Bellew selling out 20,000 seats to stadiums, brother. Come on, man.
Are you talking about
the baddest man on the planet?
At $10.
What $10? They go all the way up to about $2,500.
What fight is more relevant, my friend?
Relevant?
Yes,
relevant. See, I mean, you always change the situation and the ballpark as soon as the questions are getting a bit too hot for you.
No, you asking me a question, I'm spitting some back at you.
Exactly, because you're not answering. That's what you call deflection.
You didn't ask me a question. You made a statement. You said Bellew and Usyk sold 20,000.
Exactly. And you're talking about relevance, and this fight is relevant. But guess what?
What would you like me to say about that?
Guess what? It's relevant to the hardcores like you and I or whatever, and
it's relevant to real fans. It just so happens that in the UK you got sheep, so you guys go 20,000 going to go see a fucking massive.
Haters will call you names.
Are you going with Bellew?
Nah, he's from Liverpool. He's from Liverpool.
You go on with him?
Listen, always hometown UK boy.
Good. Because guess who picked Usyk over Gassiev? Me. Guess who's picking Usyk? Me. You could go die with your man because he ain't going to win.
Where I'm riding hometown UK all day long. It's like you supporting,
That's my point. You know Bellew's going down with the ship and you still rotten, which is no different than your blind AJ love. You know he going down with the ship and you still rotten.
Listen, you just sort out them ticket sales for your boy and keep lying for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yo, there's only so long fake thugs can pretend. Y'all gonna be so sad, B. Listen, and let me tell you right now, I'm actively talking to my three UK people. I'm trying to get Dillian White or Derek Chisora camp lives. I'm coming to the fucking UK. Ooh. So that's just like simple as that, you know? Anyway, Hamza, what up?
See, you're gonna see what real boxing is when you come to the UK. Whatever. And it's not even the number one sport. I'm telling you now.
Whatever.
But the UK is different.
You punching
at
the bell. Why are you disrespecting your fellow UK man in Hamza? You all on his call.
My bad. 10 peace seconds out. Peace over out.
His
One
call.
Love.
Damn, 5 more seconds over his call.
Peace. Yo.
Whatever,
what's
Hamza.
It called? Yeah. What's it called? They've only sold 7,000 tickets, man. That's not good. And if they put the prices down, it devalues their product, which is Deontay Wilder. And this is a fight
because
where
you're a financial advisor. You're a financial advisor.
Get a financial advisor.
I'm not the one
that's offering millions, bro. They're offering how much is Wilder gonna make from this fight?
You're fucking market analysis.
Also, this is a sign of how much pay-per-view buy they're gonna do. If they're struggling to sell more than 7,000 tickets with a month to go, and they're thinking about lowering down the prices, it's a sign of I think what's going to happen with pay-per-view.
Oh, well, you better keep praying for that because that's what you want, because you don't want negotiations to be fair, because then you know what happens.
In America.
That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. What's fair is reality. If you lost pay-per-view sales, then they should get a better deal.
Off with your head. Listen. Let me remind you of something, Hamza, because all you UK guys are going to forget. God forbid, and I'm going to say God forbid because I don't want to deal with the hate that's going to come from the UK, right? But God forbid Wilder does 170. You're going to call him all types of names. But mind you, Gennady Golovkin, who the world thought was a star, was signed to Apple, was doing commercials, was pushed by HBO, signed to Nike Jordan, okay? Got his own sneakers made. He did 172 times. He ain't crack a million till he was with the right dance partner. So let's say, God forbid, Wilder doesn't crack a million this time. It doesn't mean he won't crack a million with AJ, the right dance partner. Stop being a sheep, man. Wake the
fuck
up.
But that shows that Wilder needs AJ. That's what it shows exactly. Tyson Fury is a big name. Tyson Fury was meant to be that dance partner. When McGregor and Mayweather fought, they went all over to every city. They tried to copy it. They went to like three cities to have the press conferences.
Oh, they tried to copy. So why you don't say Mayweather and fucking McGregor copied off of Mayweather and Canelo? Why you don't say that they copied off of fucking Oscar De La Hoya?
They made pay-per-view sales, right? The money talks. You can't make numbers up. Yeah, if they're struggling to sell 7,000 tickets, it shows how much they're worth. You know, if Wilder was selling more, I'd be happy for Wilder to get a better split. You get me? Like, that's reality. Yeah, if Wilder can't sell more than 7,000 after doing a three-city tour, then at the moment, and they're thinking about putting prices down, then that shows that Wilder needs to chill out with like 60%, wanting 60% and maybe 50% for the fans. You need
Hamza,
to chill out with that.
What's today's date?
Today's date is the 2nd of November. There's less
All
than
right
a month
then.
To go.
All right then. Talk to me December fucking 1st. Bye.
Okay. How
about punching
after
fight? The
how
bell? About... You punching after the bell. Sign up to patreon.com/theboxingvoice. You want to talk after that 3-minute bell? It's time to get the fuck out of here. Thank you guys for calling in. It's not like I don't enjoy you, but you know, we do have to eat. We need food to survive. You learn that in the basics. We've been live for 71 minutes. If you enjoyed the show, hit the thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show. It lets others know that this is some thoughtful, entertaining boxing talk with a live phone number and Skype number that you could call in and get it off your chest with a guy that doesn't fucking block you. You know, I might time you out a bit, you know, if you're talking genitalia and shit. But, yeah, I don't block people, you know what I'm saying? I let you call in, I let you speak your piece, and then I just fucking break you with facts, you know, like AJ's running scared. But I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NewsGTO.
Everybody don't.
Yo, try talking into the mic because, like, that shit is, like, going in and out. You sound all, like, robotic-y.
Yo,
that is better.
All right. Everybody I know that in America, we wait to the last minute to buy things, so I'm not worried about it not being a sellout. I think more than likely that it will be a sellout. And you can follow me on Twitter at Gross2312 or on IG at Gross1911. Peace.
Arrivederci.